Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 2 Kings, chapter 2. Martin Luther, towards the end of his days on earth, penned the following ineloquent sentence in a letter. The world is like a giant anus, and I am like a ripe stool, and we soon must be parted from one another. Let's just say he might have been the most unrefined reformer we've ever known, but I'm sure there were many who would have considered him a giant turd and would have loved to flush him down the toilet. But nothing could be more different for Elijah. Elisha, his assistant, doesn't want him to leave. In the spirit of a Klingon, Elijah clings desperately to his master, despite Elijah's attempts to shake him off so he can leave this world behind him. Verse 1 begins, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave your sight." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord's going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied. "Be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know the Lord's going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied. "Be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I'm taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elijah replied. "You've asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it'll be yours. Otherwise, it won't." Verse 11. As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elijah saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and the left, and he crossed over. And thus you see what was considered the first time someone inherited the mantle or the mantle was passed on. This very story is where that saying, passing the mantle, actually comes from. Now, if you couldn't tell already, this passage is meant to be just a little bit humorous. But there's no joke when Elisha rolls up the cloak that falls from Elijah and rolls it up and parts the water in exactly the same way that although the chariots and horsemen of Israel, the flaming chariot, cut off Elijah from his view, God still gave the double portion of his spirit to Elisha anyways. But Elijah acts as wise as Solomon when asked, "What can I do for you?" Having read the end of the chapter, I can understand if Elisha said, "Hair, I think I'd like you to take care of this male pattern baldness that I inherited from the genetic XY chromosomes on my mother's side," but nope. Instead, he says, "I'd rather have a double portion of your spirit." What he was asking for was the power of the Holy Spirit, which, if you remember, is what Elijah represents in the New Testament. It's symbolized by the mantle that falls from heaven and is something that can be worn. By the way, in the Old Testament, they didn't know that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit yet. That would come after the cross and the resurrection, making it possible for us to be the dwelling place of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit would be within us and come inside of us. But in the Old Testament, the language used is that the Spirit would come upon a believer, like Samson or David in battle. That's why the king would be anointed with oil, which symbolizes Spirit upon them to empower them for the task ahead. For Elijah, the cloak would also be something that would symbolize the anointing and empowering of the Spirit upon him. Now, Elijah wants to inherit that. And you know what? Each one of us should desire the greater gifts, Paul says. We should desire to be used by God in greater measure every day. To desire more of the Holy Spirit is to desire more of God's presence in your life. And to emphasize that Elijah has in fact inherited the mantle of the Holy Spirit's anointing from God, he just naturally walks into a series of miracles in this chapter like it's no big deal. Not only does he part the waters like Elijah did, which Moses did, kind of a big deal in the Bible, but he also heals the bitter waters. And lastly, and more pointedly, my favorite, he calls two she-bears from the woods to maul 42 young people. That's right, you heard me, they had it coming. They taunted him with, get out of here, baldy. Hey, and for bald people, them's fighting words. Those of you that are gingers, you know what it's like. As a through-the-word recorder who is follically challenged, I resemble that remark. Elisha resented it and called down a curse. Now, it's important to know that Elisha didn't actually have the power to summon she-bears. I mean, that would be super cool. Talk about all of the powers in the Bible that I'd want. I'd want to be able to form of two she-bears. But that wasn't really what God was doing. God had the power to summon the she-bears, not Elisha. Elisha simply cursed them as they were being disrespectful to him as a prophet. No, the bears, those were all God. Unless you think the Bible's all about mauling children with bears, these weren't children. These were actually adolescents or unruly teens, and Elisha was just one of many that these people had tortured. Look, I know that's a tough pill to swallow. All joking aside, these were 42 youths who lost their lives that day. But they were absolutely terrorizing this town, and they had gotten out of control. They were kind of like bullies that would be merciless to any who came across their path. Before the words, okay, boomer, could leave their lips, those bears were on those ewes like Winnie the Pooh on honey. Is there a moral to the story? You betcha. Don't you dare make fun of bald people. Ever. Well, that's all we got today. And through the word, be sure to read 2 Kings chapter 2. And as you do, ask God for a greater portion of His Holy Spirit and presence in your life.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.